today on the Travel Guys from Sacramento and Oklahoma City.
In the travel news, the pickpocket gang that caused Eiffel Tower workers to go on strike has been busted. And an airline has decided that three drinks is enough.
If you love hearing about new places to travel to right here in North America, be listening at 3:20 when we'll tell you all about the wild and wonderful Vancouver Island, British Columbia.
At 3:35, we tell you about the first of two great summer entertainment venues. It's outdoor theater on the shores of Lake Tahoe.
Then at 3:45, we'll tell you about summer happenings at Jack London State Park near Sonoma.
All that today as we prepare you for the long, hot summer right here with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's it.
With the show.
And the show is on. It's the Travel Guys. Tom Romano here in studio. Mark Hoffman in Oklahoma City. Mark, it's a nice day here in Sacramento. We had weird rain last night and night before, thunderstorms and so forth.
I tell you what, I wish I was home because I'm here in Oklahoma City where it's humid and it's windy today. The clouds are starting to gather as they do frequently in the afternoon, summer afternoons in this part of the country. And thunderstorms are in the forecast for the next couple, 3 days here as we conduct some travel meetings. So I can think of, I really like Oklahoma City, and the people here are just really nice people, very down home people. I'm from Omaha, so I'm a Midwestern guy myself, but I'll tell you what, it makes me nervous being here in the summertime, but it doesn't make these people nervous. I asked the taxi driver, I said, coming in from the airport, I said, you know, just how long have you lived here? He said, 22 years. I said, so tell me, you know, does it make you folks nervous? He says, well, you know, it's happened a few more times than it used to. He said, but you know, basically, if you've got a storm cellar, you're okay.
And then, well, you know, in California, it's all about now getting earthquake insurance. Do people that live in that part of the world, do they have?
Absolutely.
Insurance for that?
Absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, in some cases, the insurance is rather restrictive when you're talking about, you know, acts of God and stuff like that. So the deductibles are high and things of that sort. Of course, Moore, Oklahoma, which is a suburb of Oklahoma City, south of the city by maybe, 15 miles, is the place that's really just gotten nailed a couple of times here in the last few years. But anyways, all is well in Oklahoma City, at least at the current time, and all is well in Sacramento, and we've got the travel news for you.
Let's do it. Let's bring on Mark with today's travel news. What do you got for us, buddy?
Tom, you remember a couple weeks ago we talked about a gang of pickpockets that were tearing up the Eiffel Tower and some other tourist attractions in Paris so much that the workers at the Eiffel Tower went on strike in order to try to get the police to show up and do something about it. Remember that?
I do. What's the follow-up?
Yeah, well, the follow-up is that the police did show up. They arrested a gang of eight pickpocket guys at the Eiffel Tower. They worked in teams of three. One would distract the tourist by bumping into them, asking a question, or asking them to help them take a selfie.
Oh, yeah.
And the second then would quietly rob the unsuspecting victim and hand whatever they had gotten from the second person immediately to the third person who took off. So your stuff was gone. The person who took it was still there. They didn't have it. So it was a pretty good scheme. But these guys were making, they estimated based on what they found on them and what they found back at where they were staying, about 130,000 euros. That'd be about $140,000 a week.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Well, glad they busted them. It's kind of safe to go to the Eiffel Tower once again.
Kind of safe to go to the Eiffel Tower. Hey, for people who like to get Slurpees on the road, here is some good news for you. 7-Eleven has opened its first store in a U.S. airport on Friday. There are already 51 in Canada, 7-Elevens in airports, and they are in Mexico, China, Japan, Norway, Denmark, Sweden, Thailand, and Malaysia, but there has never been a 7-Eleven in an airport in the United States. There is now one in Dallas. There'll be another one in Dallas in a couple of weeks, and apparently they're going to open up all over the United States.
So
you'll be able to get.
Good grief.
You get your Slurpees. News from Uber. We have to have Uber news just about every week. The Uber CEO, remember Uber started in San Francisco, mm-hmm. says that half of all of its rides in San Francisco are for its carpool service. Now, this is something I didn't know that Uber was offering, but CEO Travis Kalanick released new data on its carpool product, Uber Pool. And it turns out that half the rides in Uber rides in San Francisco are for Uber Pool.
Interesting. So people that would normally carpool with, let's say, one person, they all park in the carpool lot somewhere, and then they all get Ubered.
Yeah, or they're all picked up on the way to the same destination, much like a super shuttle van or something would. It started last August. It allows passengers heading the same direction to share a light ride and cut the cost. Mm-hmm. And since that time, Uber says that millions of Uber pool rides have been taken. So maybe it's about time we send you out on the road again during the show, you know, with some of the ride sharing services like we did. What was that? About this time last year, I think.
Can you believe how much has changed in 1 year when I did that Uber and Lyft test? And everybody was going, what is he doing? What is that Uber thing you're talking about? I don't even know what that is. And now everybody does, and everybody's using it.
Every major airport in the country is dealing with whether they not let Uber on their property, whether they make them pick up off the property, how the insurance regulations are handled, how the regulations of having to have some kind of a license or pay a fee to pick people up at an airport, because that's one of the ways they fund airports. So, yeah, it's been a challenge all over the place. Speaking of airports and airlines, a major European carrier is trying to curb alcohol-related flight disturbances by capping the number of drinks it serves any one passenger. Scandinavian carrier SAS suggests passengers should be cut off after three alcoholic drinks on its intra-Europe flights. Now, intra-Europe, I can't imagine an intra-Europe flight, even if you started in Scandinavia and you were going to Rome. It can't be more than an hour and a half or two. So I can certainly understand a carrier being concerned that when somebody was consuming more than three drinks in that short of a period of time. It doesn't say anything about SAS flights overseas, but it does say that between 2010 and the end of 2013, there had been over 20,000 unruly passenger incidents reported on airlines, and over three quarters of those were attributed to alcohol.
Amazing.
So probably not a bad idea, I suppose, to somehow limit the number of drinks. But if you're going to still let people have three drinks going to Europe, flying within Europe, why I'm going to suggest that you're not limiting people too terribly much. That huge airfare sale that took place last week, Tom, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday that Southwest started, and then all the other airlines all jumped in on, it crashed Southwest's computer system three times. On Wednesday, of course, that was when they announced that they were going to go ahead and extend the sale into Friday. Southwest estimates that that in a three-day period, they sold more tickets than at any time in the airline's history. So pretty amazing.
Well, I was partly responsible for that.
You were.
Oh, yeah. I was booking this and booking that. And I had a question right in the middle of it, and I tried to make a phone call. Forget it. Nobody answers the phone.
Try to phone a friend or something like that?
Well, kind of.
Yeah. Listen, later on in the show, we're going to tell folks about a couple of great music and theater festivals, one up in Lake Tahoe and one down at Jack London State Park. There is also one called the Stern Grove Festival in San Francisco. We were unable to get anybody to come on to talk about this, but I promised them that I would mention it. It's been going on. This is its 78th season. I said 75 earlier, but it's actually 78th season in San Francisco. They're just Stern Grove is just a couple miles south of Golden Gate Park. The concert series starts on June the 14th, and it runs into August. Randy Newman, the Doobie Brothers, some pretty good talent there. So that's another opportunity to get out and see a little bit of summer theater sometime this summer. And, you know, there was a story last week about TSA and how they had failed. Remember seeing that, Tom, about the bomb things that TSA guys were not catching?
Right.
Well, the temporary, of course, Congress has not appointed somebody to run Homeland Security, because I guess that's not all that important to Congress. But nonetheless, the acting administrator for TSA will be reassigned. So 67 out of 70 tests it conducted across the nation, they were able to get banned items through the screening process. And so they have made some changes in the screening process, and the man who is running TSA no longer has a job. So at least not at TSA.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people are probably somewhat relieved to hear that something is being done.
Yes, I would agree. And of course, those folks who were on that Delta plane that came into Sacramento and had, imagine that, your plane lands and then you've got to sit for 3 hours while they get some bomb sniffing dogs and bring them out to the airplane. And that must have been a pretty nervous 3 hours. Maybe we could just, if there's anybody out there who was on that airplane and would love to give us a call or flip us an email here at the Travel Guys, we would love to have you on the radio and have you talk to us a little bit about what that experience was like, because there's nothing, you could make us a smarter travel. One of us is bound to run into something like that someday. So tell us, you know, how it went and how you handled it. But that must have been a long 3 hours, and then another hour and a half to get into the terminal and get re-screened by TSA and have your luggage all inspected and be able to get it back. That was probably a long evening for those folks last night.
Mark, I just happened to stumble across an Uber driver who just happens to be in the building.
It's actually Lyft.
Yeah. Oh, Lyft.
Lyft. Okay. Yeah. And I'll tell you why I do Lyft and not Uber.
So you'll know that's the voice of Jeff Knox, the news guy.
And sometimes when my news shift doesn't start until 2 p.m. during the morning, like today, I'll drive for Lyft a little bit. And what do you want to know?
Well, does Lyft offer carpool service also?
Yeah, it's called Lyft Line. I believe right now, though, it's only in San Francisco in like the northeast part of the city.
Well, Jeff, we are going to take advantage of you being a resource. And next week we'll take some time on the show and let's talk a little bit about the ups and downs and any adventures that maybe you've had in being a driver for Lyft.
Oh, yeah. I'll try and bring some great stories.
Okay, sounds good. And Thomas, that is the travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys here on KFBK. Let's see. We hit the road with one of Mark's tour guides, Ramona.
Ramona's going to talk to us a little bit about Vancouver Island, which, Tom, is a destination that a lot of folks, you go up to Vancouver Island, most of the voices you hear there are British because you're in British Columbia. But folks from California haven't really discovered Vancouver Island too much, so we're going to take them up there.
That's next, right here on The Travel Guys. Hi there, everybody. Welcome. It's still The Travel Guys here on KFBK. Tom Romano with you. Mark Hoffman to my left, as always, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Hope you're having a fabulous, fabulous Sunday. Mark, it's time to hit the road again, isn't it?
It absolutely is. It's time to tell folk, take a couple of minutes here and tell folks a little bit about one of Sports Leisure's vacations, the sponsor of the program. A wonderful trip in August that's called the Tapestry of Vancouver Island. Now, some folks, when you say Vancouver, they immediately think of the city of Vancouver and in British Columbia. But actually, the city of Vancouver, Tom, is not on Vancouver Island. Vancouver's on the mainland, and Vancouver Island is where you will find the city of Victoria and, of course, Butchart Gardens and other very well-known landmarks. But when you get up into the northern section of Vancouver Island, you find that things are a little less populated, a little more of a great outdoors kind of feeling. It's a great place to visit. So I asked Ramona Gooch, who is not only the person who is planning the tour but is going to be the tour director for this trip in August, to join us on the line and tell us a little bit about this trip. But Ramona, before we talk about Vancouver Island, you're actually joining us live from Alaska on a cruise with a bunch of folks. How are things in Alaska?
Mark, we greetings from the great state of Alaska. We are having absolutely incredible weather up here. You know, the other day we were at Denali. Mark, I have to tell you, I think I did one of the greatest things. I posted the picture on our Facebook page. Greatest thing I've ever done on a Sports Leisure trip. Flight seeing in, around, over Denali.
So Alaska is going well. You're on a Holland America. You're kind of doing a combination land and cruise and doing a little Holland America thing there, I think?
We were up on land, flew into Anchorage, and then we played around with the Alaskan Huskies for a couple of days. Got to see lots of puppies. So we're on land for about 4 days, and then we boarded the ship in Seward, and we have just been sailing around looking at absolutely incredible glaciers and seeing some wildlife. So, of course, I love that.
Tom, you know, one of the things that we tell folks when they're going to some of these short season destinations is to try to go on the front or the back end of the season, not to go in the heart of the season because things get kind of crazy. But in particular, I like going at the front end of the season, like to Cape Cod, where I go next week. Ramona's in Alaska. We like to kind of hit some of these places on the fringe, on the kind of the cusp of the season because people are fresher and it just makes for a better experience. All right, let's shift gears here, Ramona, and talk a little bit about Vancouver Island. You have a trip coming up there at the end of August, and for the benefit of folks who might be going on your trip or might have an interest in it, but also for those who are listening who have never explored Vancouver Island or have never been there outside of Victoria and Butchart Gardens, tell us a little bit about some of the highlights of a trip to Vancouver Island.
I think one of the highlights begins as soon as we arrive in Canada. We take the ferry from West Van over to Nanaimo. Now, I love ferry rides because that's where you are actually have the opportunity to interact with the locals. You know, you get to get on these big ferries, and it's so much fun to see what people are carrying back and forth in their cars and their pickup trucks. And, you know, one time we were there at the ferry dock, and, you know, a guy got his fishing pole out, caught a cup of fish, threw him in the back of his pickup. I said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "Hey, this is dinner tonight when I get home," you know. That's part of that local experience that we have. So we'll take the ferry from West Vancouver over to Nanaimo. Maybe in Nanaimo, they have something they call the bar hopping. Now, this isn't going to taste alcohol or anything. We're going in search of the perfect Nanaimo bar, which is just a decadent treat. And then from there, we'll head over.
Now, this is something that you eat as opposed to something that you drink.
It is. That's right. Bar hopping there is looking for the perfect little treat. It's a really wonderful, like a brownie.
Okay.
So, Ramona, we're on Vancouver Island, and you've arrived in Nanaimo. You're headed over to the west side of the island, which really is the major focus of this trip on a road that really has only existed for, what, about 30 or 40 years?
If I recall right, it opened up in the mid-70s, and it's not a super highway by any means. It'll take us about 3.5-4 hours to get from the east side of the island over to the west side, which is still just a pristine area. It's part of the Pacific Rim National Park. We'll be going to Tofino and got a nice little hotel resort, the Tin Whiff, right there on the coast. And I'm looking forward to just kind of playing on the beach a little bit, one of their long beaches that they have there. And, of course,
you know, Ramona, that beach there at the Tin Whist Lodge in Tofino, if anyone who goes with you or anyone who goes up to Vancouver Island, the Tin Whist is the place that you want to stay. They have a huge beach literally right outside the front door or the back door of the hotel. And in the evenings, folks from all over walk on that beach. And Tofino gets very much an international crowd. A lot of Brits are there. And you can walk on that beach and hear all different languages, meet all kinds of different people. It really is one of the great places that I have ever been for people watching and people meeting. You can strike up a conversation with somebody from the other side of the planet while you're strolling along a beach on Vancouver Island. It's pretty spectacular.
You're listening to the Travel Guys on KFBK. We're visiting with Ramona. She's going to be taking us to Vancouver Island. By the way, go to travelguysradio.com. And if you go to all vacations, if you scroll down to it, I think it's August, right? You can see the tapestries of Vancouver Island and kind of follow along. What kind of weather are you going to be experiencing, do you think, when you get there in August, Ramona?
Tofino has a pretty moderate climate. It's surrounded by temperate rainforest. So I am suspecting that we should have pretty nice weather right about the mid-70s, maybe up to 75. Should be absolutely spectacular for those evening walks on the beach.
Now, you've got a foodie tour in the middle of this trip. We're not in a big city, but there's nonetheless, you've got a food-oriented tour. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the Comox Valley, which is up north of Nanaimo on the east side, really provides most of the food for Vancouver Island. So we'll be visiting with a couple of the different purveyors there, going about, picking up some food, and then we'll have a nice lunch that day too. So I've got a local lady who's going to tell us all about the local cuisine and where it is raised.
Now, Ramona, you're on the island with the city of Victoria, but Victoria is not really a part of the itinerary for this particular tour. Is that correct?
Not really. The last day, you'll have a couple of hours if you want to go down and get a taste of the big city. But most of the time, we're going to be up in the more remote areas, certainly not not rustic areas, but areas that a little bit less international influence than what Victoria has.
And Tom, I should mention here that Sports Leisure Vacations offers a 4-day, 3-night trip to Victoria in July, and oftentimes offers it in December, a Christmas-type trip. This year's tour is completely sold out, so you'll have to wait till next year if you're going to go with us. Ramona, accommodations and stuff on Vancouver Island are fairly limited, so let's assume for a moment that some of the folks listening are not going with you up there on your trip at the end of August. If you're going up on your own and you're going to stay on the island, is that someplace you need to make reservations and stuff for in advance in places like Tofino?
Oh, absolutely. Because you're right. We're up in the upper areas there. There are some really nice options, but it's a very popular area for outdoors people, for fishing, boating, and for people who just want to go and see the absolute beauty of the central part of the Vancouver Island. So, yeah, absolutely. They need to make the reservations early.
Tom, at Sports Leisure, there's a very poorly kept secret that Ramona is the greatest tree hugger of them all.
Well, I don't know. And it's not all together. If people have been listening to the show, we had Ramona on, and she was hugging some trees up in Yosemite, if I'm not mistaken.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she tends to get around and hug trees in different places. I guess the point of this is that if you go with Ramona on a trip to where a place where there is going to be a lot of nature and a lot of outdoor impact on the itinerary, why you've kind of chosen the right person to travel with, loves the great outdoors.
Absolutely, and Ramona would be great to go with. And I understand if you would like to go with her, I do think, Mark, do you still have some space available on this outing?
We do. There's a limit of 25 people on the trip, and we have about half a dozen seats still left. So you can go to travelguysradio.com, and we'll have a link to the trip there. We'll also have a link just to general Vancouver Island tourism, so that if you are interested in going up to Vancouver Island, you really could pick a lot worse places to have a vacation. Airfare, also know this, airfares to Seattle right now, and by consequence on to Vancouver, because you have to go to Seattle to connect to get to Vancouver, are very competitive. They are quite a bit lower than they have been, because you have Delta, Southwest, and Alaska Airlines all serving Seattle from here, and then Delta has just announced Vancouver service from Seattle, so pretty soon there'll be two different ways to get to Vancouver, or you can go to Seattle and take the ferry boat over to Victoria and then and rent a car and then take off there for the island. But Vancouver Island really is probably one of the most overlooked spectacular destination vacation destinations, certainly in the western side of North America. Wouldn't you agree with that, Ramona?
I would, and especially this northern piece of Vancouver Island. As you mentioned earlier, when people think of Vancouver Island, they think of Victoria, and there is just so much more.
All right. Well, Ramona, thank you for taking some time out of your trip in Alaska. Ramona joins us live from Juneau. Have a safe trip home and the rest of your travels, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for joining us this afternoon on The Travel Guys.
All righty. You guys have a great day.
Thanks, Ramona. We are The Travel Guys on KFVK Travel and Entertainment, I might point out. And coming up after the news break, the entertainment side, as we take you to Lake Tahoe for, of all things, Shakespeare Theater. You found us. We are the Travel Guys here on KFBK, Travel and Entertainment, I might point out. Mark Hoffman to my left. I'm Tom Romano. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And we got kind of a combo going on here, Mark. A little bit of travel for some entertainment. And a special.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and a special guest.
A very special guest joining us from South Lake Tahoe is Ray Matthews. Ray is the community engagement manager for the Lake Tahoe Shakespeare Festival, which is having a renaissance this summer after a few tough years where they downsized to one show. They're back with a 2-show season this year. And Ray, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us about the fun that's going to go on in Lake Tahoe this summer. Not only do you have a traditional Shakespearean show, but you have a wonderful show from that has played off Broadway for most of the last 40 years coming to Lake Tahoe. Tell us a little bit about the two programs that you're going to have.
That's right. Our two shows this season are Romeo and Juliet and The Fantastics, which is the longest-running musical in the world.
Wow.
Outstanding.
We're super excited to have it. It's a really fun show. It's funny. It's charming. And it's a great way for us to sort of reach out and stretch our wings a little bit.
Tom, do you remember the song Try to Remember?
Try to remember the time of September. Nice, Mark. Nice. Yes, I do remember it. And you did it quite well, I might add.
Yeah, well, that's the end of the singing for today. But that song, along with some others that folks will probably recognize, what a great choice. Do you always just do Shakespeare? Is this something kind of new for you?
Well, there's always a Shakespeare show woven in there somewhere. In the past, when we did multiple shows, we did mix it up a little bit with some non-Shakespeare shows as well. But for the last 5-6 years, it's been only Shakespeare and only Shakespeare comedies, for that matter. So this is a nice, fun new venture for us. We're doing, you know, one of the tragedies and as well as a fun musical.
So a combination of tragedy and joy all at the same time. In fact, I was looking at your website. You have a sentence here or some verbiage that I find fascinating. See a Shakespeare tragedy on the shore of North Lake Tahoe.
Ray, tell us about the venue where the shows are held at Sand Harbor State Park.
It's absolutely beautiful, possibly one of the most beautiful sites to do Shakespeare. You sit in the sand, you can have a bottle of wine next to you, food, a picnic, and you look out onto the stage, and behind the stage you see the backdrop that is Lake Tahoe in all its splendor for every show. It's just lovely as the sun goes down. It's just very beautiful.
Is there any reserved seating, or is this all a sit on the, just bring your towel and sit on the sand type of thing?
It used to be like that. We've grown up quite a bit. All of our premium section and our lower gallery section is reserved seating. Chairs are there, and they're very comfortable. Premium is all Adirondack chairs, and the lower gallery have nice, comfortable canvas chairs that are dug well into the sand. They're very secure. Upper gallery, which is our general seating, so it's not assigned, still has chairs for the most part, but we did save one tiny little section at the top for those that are traditionalists that want to bring their blankets.
Now, how much does it cost to attend a show at the Lake Tahoe Shakespeare Festival, right?
Adult tickets start at $27 and go up to $89, and that depends on the day and the section you wish to sit in. And we also have youth tickets that start at $15. And for youth tickets, that's actually people 25 and under.
So it's kind of a student rush almost that you can
kind get. Kind of, yeah.
College students can get in at a pretty good price. It sounds like a tremendous amount of fun. And it says here on your website that you have a special package if folks want to attend the two shows.
That's right. And it's so fun to be able to offer this because we haven't had two shows in so long. But since we have two, if you purchase tickets to both shows, you do get a discount.
You know, it's so unique to be able to enjoy a theater outdoors particularly, but to have a backdrop like Lake Tahoe has to be spectacular. Ray, what time of the day or evening do you have your performances?
Our opening is always 7:30. So doors open at 5:30, and we do have a full kitchen and bar on premises. So if you can bring food if you like, but you can also come at 5:30 and order dinner and sit and relax. You can order up until 6:30, and then the curtain goes up at 7:30, and we usually run until about 10 o'clock.
Wow, Tom, this sounds like something that Sports Leisure Travelers, it's too late for us to get involved in it this year, but next year, Ray, there might be a motor coach pulling up in front of you. Do you get groups? Do you have group programs and things like that?
We love groups. Groups are great. We do have a special discount for groups of 10 or more, and we'd love to see you guys roll up in a motor coach.
Awesome. Well, like I said, it's a little bit short notice for this year, but for next year, especially now that you folks have reserved seating up there, and I agree with Tom. What better backdrop than Lake Tahoe for a summer evening of theater? Now, is this just on the weekends? Does it run all week? Give us an idea.
We run for 6 weeks every day except Monday. And Mondays, because, you know, we have to give the actors a day off. It's in their contract.
Right.
So Mondays, we actually offer different programming every Monday. There's all kinds of things you can see. The Reno Philharmonic comes down. The Reno Jazz Orchestra comes down. And so does the ballet.
You know, I don't know if we asked at the beginning. I may have missed it. Ray, what particular area are you in? How do people get to your location?
So we're off the 28, which is one of the smaller highways that go around the lake. We're just southeast, get my directions right, just southeast of Incline, and it's right at Sand Harbor State Park.
I see. Okay, and don't forget, folks, you can find directions and a link to the Lake Tahoe Shakespeare.com website and all of that, of course, as always, at TravelGuysRadio.com.
Ray, before we let you go here, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this beautiful backdrop, these pictures of theater with the lake in the background and stuff, and I'm thinking, if this has been going on for that many years, there must have been a thunderstorm or something somewhere in that mix. What happens when the weather turns bad? I'm sure that has happened once or twice over the years.
You know, it does happen, but it doesn't happen very often. We will continue to go on if it's sprinkling mildly. We basically will battle the weather. The show must go on. So unless the weather reaches a point where it becomes dangerous for the actors, that's the point where we would do a rain check. But it's not very common. It's maybe once every couple of years.
Ray Matthews has been our guest. Ray is with the Lake Tahoe Shakespeare Festival, which has been going on for over three decades, you told me, Ray?
Yeah, we are in our 43rd year this year.
Wow, over four decades.
That's
so
awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you can go to TravelGuysRadio.com. They start on the 10th of July, is that right?
That's correct, until August 23rd.
August 23rd, and you can see how to get tickets there. What a great way to spend a summer evening, and the fact that you have shows that are not on the weekends means that, you know, you can get away from that weekend traffic to the lake and go up and enjoy a show on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night, something like that, and spend the night, or heck, you could even make a late night drive back home. Ray, thank you so much for joining us today on the Travel Guys, and we'll try to bring some Travel Guys listeners maybe up to you and see you next summer.
That would be wonderful. Thank you for having me.
We are the Travel Guys, doing our best to bring you a little culture from time to time, right here on News Radio 1530 KFBK.
And coming up right after this break, we're going to take you, if Lake Tahoe's not your thing, well, don't worry. We'll take you up to the Napa-Sonoma Valley to Jack London State Park, right here on the Travel Guys.
That's right. You can hear the Travel Guys any place on the planet on iHeartRadio, as well on your car radio and all those other places. Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman. It's the Travel Guys brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, this is not only the Travel Guys, but Travel Guys and Entertainment Plus show today as we make our way, all over the place with great entertainment venues. And you have a guest on the line for us right now that's got something special over in the Bay Area. Why don't you take it from here?
The only travel show that can take you all over the state of California while broadcasting live, not only from California, but from Oklahoma, too. Our guest with us today, we should tell folks that we've had a guest on the show, and our friend Ann Abrams before, who has talked about some of the activities they have at Jack London State Park. And they just do an amazing job down there. And in the summer, they do a theater series, and a really creative theater series. And Steven Stubens is joining us on the line now. Steve, you there?
I am here. Hi, guys.
Hey, welcome to the Travel Guys. And Steven, you are part, as I understand, part of the part of the cast that performs at Jack London Park during this summer.
Absolutely. We are the Transcendence Theater Company, and we do the Broadway Under the Stars concerts in Jack London State Park.
Outstanding. So you have the season this year starts up in July. It looks like just after the 4th of July, and you have four shows here. We have a couple minutes. Give us a little bit of the highlights. Tell us, is this your first season working at Jack London State Park, or have you been there before?
No, actually, we've been in Jack London State Park. This is going to be our fourth season. And when we moved up to this area, Jack London State Park was actually set to close as one of the 70 state parks that was going to be cut by budget cuts by California. We've been able to keep it open, and in the last three years, we've had over 36,000 people come to our events. We've actually been able to give the park over $117,000 from all the events that we do.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, tell us a little bit about the summer series. It's got to be difficult for you, Stephen, to not only, you know, be responsible for a lot of other things, but also to be in the shows as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually fun. I mean, we're a group of Broadway performers who had a vision of really integrating in the community and making more of a difference with our work. And through Jack London State Park and through the Sonoma community, we've really been able to do that. So we get fed very much by it. The Broadway Under the Stars series is quite remarkable. It's what we like to talk about is almost like a way to get the full Sonoma County wine country experience in one evening.
Mm-hmm.
You get to kind of drive through the vineyards of Sonoma County. You get to come up. You get to have, there's 2.5 hours of pre-show picnicking and wine and food trucks with 6 or 7 different wineries pouring each night, with food trucks from local food and local musicians during the pre-show entertainment while you sit and you dine next to the vineyards of Jack London State Park. And then the actual show takes place in what actually got named by the USA Today's 10 Best as the #2 outdoor concert venue in the country last year. It takes place under the stars in these old winery ruins right next to where Jack London wrote a lot of his amazing books.
Tom, have you ever been to Jack London State Park?
I have. It's been quite a few years.
The ruins out there are cool enough during the day. I can only imagine how neat, what a great place that would be to spend an evening just watching a concert or watching a theater presentation. It would just be an amazing, amazing, amazing place. Stephen, it looks like that there are several different options for people in terms of seating. There is, it looks like that there's chair seating, perhaps, and also just open lawn seating available, too.
Actually, so the pre-show picnicking we have, that all takes place on the open lawn of the park. So we have hay bales and picnic tables and different ways of seating. But the performance space itself that everybody goes into at 7:30 for the show has seats. So there's 3 levels of seats, but every patron who's bought a ticket has a seat.
I'm looking at some pictures of the venue itself. It looks like a raised stage, great lighting, interesting backdrop of the mountains and so forth. And so I find it fascinating. This has become quite a thing where when you go to an outdoor event, in this particular case, a Broadway show, really, you can sample wines and the food trucks now are showing up.
Isn't that a terrific idea? I think that is an amazingly fabulous idea. You can go and get kind of a unique experience both from a dining and from an entertainment standpoint.
Tell us about some of the specific shows, Stephen. What performances do you have?
Yeah, well, what's actually really cool about us is that each show, instead of like a book musical where you might have 3 or 4 lead players in it and then a bunch of ensemble performers, each show of ours has about 20 Broadway performers in it, and each of them are basically leads. So each is a unique concert, and these are Broadway performers, some of whom actually just take a couple weeks off from their Broadway show, come out and do the show out here, and then go straight back up to Broadway. So a lot of people from Wicked and Hairspray and Mamma Mia, and we have an original cast member from the Book of Mormon and things like that. The shows themselves change names, but each of them has kind of that element to them where it's a concert of the best, a great eclectic mix of Broadway standards and popular contemporary music.
Now, the interesting thing here is that a lot of these concerts, Tom, you know, usually the summer stuff is on the weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night, stuff like that. But, Stephen, some of the stuff down here, in fact, a number of your performances are going to be midweek, which for those folks who have fought weekend traffic in the wine country before would probably consider that just a little bit of a blessing to be able to go down there on a weekday.
Yeah, especially like July 2nd and 3rd, for instance, we have a performance. And we have other performances at other venues throughout the summer as well, if people check out our website, that are midweek. And it is a great option for people to experience wine country without the traffic.
It looks like that the tickets prices start at about $29, go up to about $129, depends on the location and also the performance. You can go to travelguysradio.com and you can see a link. You can find a link there, and you can go and check out all of the different shows. And there are 4 different performances and, there are more than 4 performances, but 4 different shows spread out over 2 months. And as I mentioned, some of them are middle of the week. So that might be, gives theater fans an extra extra opportunity to go out. Steve, before we let you go, anything else that you'd like to tell folks about maybe coming out and seeing you out at Jack London?
Yeah, well, we can't wait. One of the really cool things about what we do is at the beginning of each show, these Broadway performers that people usually wait at the stage door to try to get their autograph for, they're actually out there pouring your wine, tearing your tickets, and talking to you before the show.
Oh, cool.
And it's a beautiful community aspect to it that people absolutely love. And they turn into musical theater rock concerts, basically.
So meet some actual Broadway entertainers and then have them entertain you. Steve, it sounds like a wonderful evening. Broadway Under the Stars, the artist series at Jack London State Park. Thanks for joining us on the Travel Guys today.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. And you Travel Guys listeners out there, you be sure that you tap some shoulders and ask for Steve and tell him you're a Travel Guys listener when you show up. Again, thanks for joining us, Stephen. We are the Travel Guys, getting towards the end of the program. Got a little business to take care of. Mark, take it
away.
Well,
we do. We've got a weekly giveaway, a travel card to someone who has traveled with Sports Leisure Vacations. It is the jackpot starts at $100 and it goes up $100 a week if it is not claimed. We've had some winners the last 3 or 4 weeks, so congratulations to last week's winner. Our winner this week is Edie Carde. I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. K-A-R-D-E. Edie was with us on a trip down to see the Book of Mormon a week or so ago. So, Edie, if you are listening to the Travel Guys and you call the Sports Leisure office Monday or Tuesday, you'll win a $100 travel card with our compliments. And if we don't hear from Edie, then next week, Thomas, we will have a $200 travel card to give away.
Awesome. Hey, by the way, do you guys, you Sports Leisure Vacationers, you still involved with that Rob on the Road stuff?
We are.
On KBIE?
Rob on the Road is, in addition to underwriting this program, Sports Leisure Vacations is a sponsor of Rob on the Road on KVIE at 7 o'clock. It airs, and tomorrow night, if you are a fan of the Crocker Art Museum at all, the oldest museum west of the Mississippi, by the way, Rob is going to do an insider's look at the Crocker Art Museum. And then a week from Monday, he's going to take you up to Yosemite National Park. That's Rob on the Road on KVIE, television worth watching every Monday night at 7 p.m. So, Thomas, what are you going to be up to this week?
Well, let's see. This week it's, I'm what I think I'm going to be doing is I'm just sort of prepping myself for a trip that's not too far away when we're going to take a few of the special Travel Guys listeners and members of the Sports Leisure Vacations family, and we're going to go to San Francisco and ride the magic bus.
And you know, Tom, we
working on my
tie-dye. The first trip on the 23rd of June sold out just within a matter of 2 days. We added another trip later on in the summer and in August, and it is full. We still have another long waiting list, so we're looking at trying to add another trip sometime in October. I'm going to have to speak to your boss because you may not be able to go into work on any of these days. But,
well, I've already been granted a day off for our first trip, so that was covered.
We've told folks that we can't promise both of the Travel Guys on every one of these trips because somebody has to stay home and get the work done. But yes, the Magic Bus, in case you are not going with us, if you have friends who are coming to Sacramento or to San Francisco this summer, and if they're folks who are, if they remember the 60s, why then they would really appreciate, I'm sure, a ride. It's a 2-hour narrated tour in San Francisco, and it takes them back to the days of the Flower Children and up to Haight-Ashbury and stuff. And we had a lot of fun last year taking some listeners on the trip, and so we are repeating that this year, and we're looking for some other ideas of things that we can do with listeners down the road, thinking about maybe a trip to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame back in Cleveland, maybe perhaps for the induction ceremony or something like that.
No, you got my interest.
Listen, if you're a listener and you have an idea of someplace you'd love to see us go, you can go to travelguysradio.com. There's a little memo slot there where you can just fill out a little thing and just tell us what your idea is. It's here. You think this would be a great trip, someplace to go with the Travel Guys sometime.
Mark, you have a safe trip home. I know you're in Oklahoma City. I'm here in the studio, and we are the Travel Guys here every Sunday at 3 o'clock. I want you guys, our listeners out there, to have a safe week and sure to be back with us next Sunday at 3 o'clock once again.